Mark chapter number 5, and in verse number 1, this may be, I'm sure for many, a familiar story of a man that was possessed with demons. They came over unto the other side of the sea, in the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with unclean spirits, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirit went out and entered into swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place in the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus, and seeing that a man was possessed with devils and had legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told how it befell to him that was possessed with the devils, and how also concerning the swine. And he began to pray him to depart out of the coast. And when he was come into the ships, he that had been possessed with the devils prayed him that he might be with him. And howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and had compassion on thee. And in verse number 20, he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. If I were to name a specific city, something would come to your mind. So if I were to say to you, Detroit, Michigan, what would you think? First thing that comes to your mind?
Tigers.
Tigers. All right. If I were to say Monclova, Ohio, what would come to your mind? Monclova Road Baptist Church. All right. If I were to say to you a city like Orlando, what would come to your mind? Disney. All right. How about if I said something like Philadelphia, what comes to your mind? What is it? Someone said home. Somebody said Liberty Bell. New York City. Times Square. Pastor Oscar comes to my mind. You know, the reality is this. If we were to name a place, someone specific or something specific comes to your mind. This is a place, if you were to name this Decapolis, or you were to name the country of the Gadareans, this man had such a reputation, this man would probably come to the mind of people that lived in this area. Here is somebody that this man lived in tombs, this man would make noise at night. I mean, you talk about a neighbor that you don't want to live next to. This is the guy. This is the place where you would tell your children you are not allowed to drive through the cemetery. You're not allowed to ride your bikes. You're not allowed to take a shortcut. You are to stay away from this place, because this man, this place, he had a reputation. His reputation wasn't a great reputation at all. Matter of fact, his reputation was one that he would hurt you and he would hurt himself. And so the Bible tells us that they would go into this place and they would take this man, they would tie him down with fetters and chains and try to do it for the safety of himself and the safety of others. And he would just simply break through these chains. He wasn't one that people would come to talk with and in fellowship with. He was one that people feared and stayed away from. And he had a reputation here in this area. As we read here through this portion of scripture, we find that Jesus comes to this area. And as he comes to this area, immediately this man comes running to Jesus and he begins to worship him. And Jesus cast out these 2,000 devils out of this man. We know this. One is because his name was Legion, and we have many, he says in verse 9. And also there was about 2,000, verse number 13, swine that then got possessed with these devils and ran down this cliff and into the water. And the Bible says they choked, or they drowned in this water. Could you imagine that sight? You know, sometimes we read things in the Bible and they just kind of go over our head as we're reading it. But could you imagine being the people that are watching this swine, watching this man that you know is just a crazy man, this man Jesus, everyone else wants nothing to do with this man. Everyone else simply wants this man out of their life. They try to tie him up. They want nothing to do with him. And then there's this man named Jesus who goes to this man, and this man, they see him there worshiping Jesus. And then they take and see Jesus cast these demons out of this man. They see this man in his right mind, but they're upset because they lost 2,000 swine. You would think that the cost of these 2,000 swine would be worth it for the safety of their families and friends that lived around this area. You would think that the reputation that this man was giving this city and this town, it would be better to say, you know, this man no longer is there. Matter of fact, this is a place where 2,000 swine, they left and ran down the cliff and they drowned, and Jesus cast these demons out of this man, and people would come probably just to see what happened with this man. Safety would come to this city, and fear would be gone, and kids could play once again, and no more howling and crying, and no more issues in the evening. No more men rallying to the tombs to chain this man down. None of that would take place any longer because Jesus healed this man. You would think that would be what would happen here. You see, instead, we find a people that are angry. We find a people that are in fear. But as we find a people angry and fear, we find one man, this demon-possessed man, he no longer is living in bondage. He's no longer living in bondage to these devils. He's free. He's worshiping the Lord. He's in his right mind. And this one man is going to make a difference. He's going to make a difference. Jesus comes and is introduced to this man. He heals him, but the people send Jesus away. And the Bible tells us as they're sending Jesus away, this man comes to him and he says, "Can I go with you?" Now, just the day before, the day of, but the evening before, no one wanted anything to do with you. You were hurting yourself, and there was a possibility for you to hurt others. You were living in torment. You were living in fear. The Bible says he was cutting himself. There's no sympathy for this man other than just keep him away from all the other people. He was lonely. He had to have been discouraged. He was not in his right mind. Think about the condition of this man. And when Jesus healed him, he says to Jesus, "Let me go with you. I just want to spend time with you." Wouldn't that be the same reaction that you would have? "Jesus, I want to spend time with you. You saved me. You delivered me from this bondage. I want to spend the rest of my life just in your presence." That's what this man is asking Jesus. But Jesus says to this man in verse number 19, the Bible says, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home, go to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." This isn't what the man was looking for. The man was hoping that Jesus would say, "Follow me." But instead, Jesus says to this man, "I want you to go and I want you to tell everyone what I've done for you." The Bible tells us in verse number 20, "And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." You know, we could just take the story and end it right there and say, isn't that a wonderful thing? One man made a difference. One man made a difference. He went and he published all that Jesus has done for him. He went and told of everything that Jesus has done that healed him. And the Bible says this, that all the men marveled. I mean, if we just ended the story there, we could say, what a wonderful story. A man met Jesus. Jesus changed that man's life. And that man then went and published all that Jesus had done. And others marveled. Others looked to Jesus. Others cared. Others saw the change. And they marveled on who Jesus Christ is. What a wonderful story there. You know, one man can make a difference. In this story, one man made a difference to all those that he went and published about who Jesus was. I think about that all throughout the Bible. There's one man. Moses is a man that led Israel out of captivity, and God used Moses. One man. You might think to yourself, you know, I don't know if I could really make a difference for God. I wanna differ with you there. I believe this, that one man that is just sold out to the Lord, one person, one woman, one child, one teenager that says, I wanna live my life pleasing the Lord. I wanna live my life to tell others about Jesus. They can make a difference in their generation. Abraham was one man, but God used him to father an entire nation. He was one man. He was one man. The Bible says by faith, he sojourned. He left his homeland and went to a place that he has never seen, only heard about, only dreamed about, only heard because God told him about it. He went to a place that he had never seen, but he went there by faith. One man made a difference. I think of just throughout the Bible, another man, David, who stood before Goliath. An entire army was afraid and feared this one giant. But one young boy went out there with a sling and he twirled that sling and that stone left that sling and went into the forehead of Goliath. One man made a difference. And all of Israel then left where they were hiding and pursued after the Philistines. And God had a great victory that day because one man was willing to make a difference. One man, Ezekiel, led an army of bones. One man, Solomon, had wisdom and God used him to build the nation of Israel. I think of one man, John the Baptist, who lived and was different than all those around them, but would be in the wilderness preaching that the Lamb of God was come, preaching the way of the Messiah, preaching and baptizing. One man made a difference. I think of Peter, who, as we study through the apostles, and we study those this morning, Peter, who cursed God, who cursed Christ and denied Christ and denied he ever knew him. One man, though, made a difference. He preached at Pentecost and 3,000 souls were saved. The truth is, last Sunday, I got really excited when three got saved last week. Could you imagine being in a place where 3,000 souls were saved? Heard the testimony this afternoon that one trusts Christ as their Savior. We get excited, and rightly so. We get excited when one or two or three get saved. But could you imagine a size of four or so times the amount of people that were here in this auditorium this morning in the two services? Could you imagine that many people getting saved at one time? One man God can use. I think of Mary. Here's one woman that God used to birth his son. Here was one woman that was willing to be used of God. Here was one woman that was willing to allow the Holy Spirit to conceive inside of her the Son of God. And yes, it was going to cause an issue with Joseph. And yes, maybe all those around would wonder and talk, but she was willing to be used of God. One woman, one person, one man to be used of God. I was a Sparky when I was a kid. How many of you know what a Sparky is? All right. How many of you ever had a Sparky living in your house? I was a Sparky. I went through all the books and had the little red vest. And matter of fact, I kept that little red vest. It doesn't fit anymore. But somewhere in a drawer, in a box somewhere, there's a little vest when I was a Sparky. I remember we would start each evening of Awana when I was a Sparky, and we'd sing a little song, It Only Takes a Spark to Get the Fire Going. How many of you remember that song? Is that even still a theme song for the Sparkies? Everyone's looking at me like, we're not sure. Do you want me to sing it to you? It only takes a spark to get a fire going. And then all those around would warm up to its glowing. That's how it is with God's love once you experience it. And I don't remember the rest of the words. It's been a long time. You want to sing, it's fresh like spring. You want to pass it on. I think that's how it goes. Just one spark. One spark. As a little child, I learned this song in Awana. Just one spark. It just takes one spark to get a fire going. And in what we were learning there is it just takes one person to share the gospel. It just takes one person to make a difference. It just takes one person to do something for God. It takes one man to spread the gospel. It just takes one man to evangelize a continent. It just takes one person to have passion to do something for God. Oh, this evening, church, I want to just preach to encourage you tonight to maybe be that one person, that one man, that one woman, that one teenager that says, I want to make a difference for God in my generation. One person, one man. Mark chapter 5, verse number 19, Jesus suffered this man. He said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath compassion on thee. God's looking for one person to be a voice. Here we find in verse number 19, Jesus said, I want you to go home and I want you to be a voice. I want you to use your words. He said, I want you to tell. I want you to express to them through words. I want you to tell them what Jesus Christ has done. I believe that God is still looking for one person, one man, one woman, one teenager, one child to be a voice in his generation to share what Jesus Christ has done. You know, Christian, I don't know how those of us that have been redeemed, those of us that have been saved, I don't know why and how we could just keep that inside and never share that with a world that is dying and lost. How we could just say, God, you've loved me, and Christ, you went to the cross and you took my sin and you rose from the grave. And I don't know if I could share that good news with anyone. As we look out into our community, as we look out into our world, we see a world of people that need Jesus Christ. And I believe this, that God is looking for someone to be that voice, to go with our words and share what Jesus Christ has done. John the Baptist said this, I am just a voice. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the chosen one. I am not the Son of God. I'm just simply a voice crying out in the wilderness, making a way for Jesus Christ to come. He's looking for a man. John the Baptist was that voice. In Acts chapter 40, verse number 20, Peter and John said this, I can't but speak the things which we have seen and heard. What they were saying is this, we're just a voice. I can't but just tell what Jesus Christ has done for us. Could you imagine, here are these two, they were fishermen and they were living their life and they were just going through life without Christ, and all of a sudden Jesus Christ came by their way and he called unto them and he said, I want to make you fishers of men. And they probably didn't understand that very much, probably didn't make much sense to them when he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. But they said, we'll follow, and they saw God work. They saw the Lord move. They saw miracles take place. As we learned this morning, they saw them nail Jesus to the cross. They thought it was hopeless. They thought it was waste of time, but they saw Jesus rise from the dead. They saw him face to face. And now these two say this in Acts chapter 4, I can't but speak. I can't help but share what I've learned, what I've seen, and what I've heard of Jesus Christ. Matthew 28:19 says, for all of us as followers of Christ to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, teach all nations, baptizing them. We're commanded as Christians to go and tell. We're commanded as Christians to be a voice. God is looking for one person this evening to be a voice, to go and tell and go to teach who Jesus Christ is. It was said of the apostles in Acts chapter 5, verse number 42, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. See, God's looking for a voice. I find it ironic in the day and age that the apostles lived in. The Bible says this, they turned the world upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the age that we live in, with technology and travel and the internet and ways that we can communicate, at times it seems we're not even making a dent. At times it seems like the message isn't getting out. In all the ways that we can be a voice, we're silent. But here in verse number 19, Jesus is challenging this man to be a voice. It all starts with just one voice, to take a stand, to make a choice, to live for God. I believe this as well. We see this, that God is looking for one man to be obedient. In verse number 20, the Bible says he departed and began to publish how great things Jesus has done for him. I want you to mark this. He published that in Decapolis. And I want you to go to verse number 1 and just kind of circle and underline. He did it in the country of the Gadareans. Jesus said, I want you to go and I want you to publish there in the countryside of the Gadareans. I want you to go and publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And the Bible tells us this, that this man went and did it. You see, not only is the Lord looking for one to be a voice, he's also looking for one to be obedient. You see, Christian, if we're not being a voice, if we're not telling about the gospel of Jesus Christ, if we're not going out and spreading the good news that we celebrated this morning, then we are not being obedient as Christians. A silent Christian is a disobedient Christian. A Christian is not to just keep it inside. And yes, we as humans, we are just so thankful for what God has saved us from and saved us for. And one day we will spend eternity in heaven. And what a wonderful thing that is. But it is not for us to keep it silent. It's for us to be obedient. This one man, this demon-possessed man, he went and he obeyed Jesus. He took it to his family. He took it and published it in Decapolis. He published the word of God, the truth, the good news of the gospel. God's looking for someone to be obedient to his will and someone to be obedient to his calling. He's looking for someone to be obedient to his plan. Do you know this man, as I think about this fella here, he could have very easily said, you know what, if you're not going to let me go with you, I think I'm going to go and enjoy things in life I've missed. You know, I've been tied up and I've been in these tombs for a long time. I've not experienced life the way others have. I think, Jesus, I may tell others, but I think I'm going to experience and enjoy life first. No, you don't find this man doing that. The Bible says, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis. He began right away. His life now was had a different purpose. At one time, his life was just simply living in bondage. Now he's living in freedom. And his life one time was living in exile. Now he's living with his family and friends. His life at one time, there was nothing worth saying. He just simply cry out and need someone to help. Now his cry is different. Now he's telling others about Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ has done for him. This man has taken this gospel message and he's giving it to his family and giving it to his friends. And I believe this, that God is looking for us as Christians to do the same thing. Someone that would give up their desires, give up their wants, give up what they feel they deserve, simply to want to preach the gospel to a world that needs to be saved. I want you to turn with me, if you would please, stay in Mark. Turn with me to Mark chapter 31. And again, in verse number 31, Mark chapter 7, verse 31. Again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of where? Where did Jesus tell this man to go and publish? Where? Where's Jesus at again? Jesus has come back to the same place. He's come back. Now, what did the people do to Jesus in Decapolis in Mark chapter 5? What did they do? They asked him to leave. They feared him. They didn't want him there. They saw what he did for this man, and they said, Jesus, leave us. And Jesus says, I want you to go, and I want you to be obedient. I want you to be a voice. I want you to go to the countryside of Decapolis. I want you to go back to your family and your friends, and I want you to share with them what Jesus Christ has done for you. Jesus finds himself back in verse 31. He finds himself back in the same place, the midst of the coast of Decapolis. They bring unto him one that was deaf, one that had issues with speech, one that had issues with hearing. Look with me in verse 35, and straightway his ears were opened. They sent him away, but now they're coming to see him. I want you to look with me in verse number 1 of chapter 8. In those days, the multitude being very great, and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto them and saith unto him, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. In verse number 9, the Bible says this, and they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Now think about this. Just a little bit ago, these people said to Jesus, leave. And now Jesus comes to this place of Decapolis, and they're bringing people that need to hear. They're bringing people that need to speak. There's 4,000 that have gathered around Jesus, and now they want to hear what he has to say. There's 4,000 that are hungry. Jesus has now spent 3 days with these, and they have nothing to eat, and Jesus is able now to perform a miracle, and he feeds these 4,000 hungry people in a place where they once said, Jesus, you need to leave. You see, I believe this, that God is looking for one man to make a difference. What's the difference between Mark chapter 5 and Mark chapter 7 and 8? The difference was one man that said, I'm going to be a voice. What's the difference between Mark chapter 5 and Mark chapter 7 and 8? Same place, same countryside, same people. What's the difference? One man that said, I will be obedient. I will take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to my family and to my friends. I will go back to Decapolis and I will tell them what Jesus Christ had done for me. I'm going to tell them that I was in bondage to sin. I'm going to tell them that I had no hope. I'm going to tell them that I lived in tombs and there was no hope for my life. And I'm going to tell them what Jesus Christ had done for me. I'm going to tell them about the times they'd come and they'd take chains and fetters and tie me up, and only those demons just to break through those chains. I'm going to tell them about the times where those demons inside of me would make me cut myself and hurt myself. I want to tell them about how lonely it was without Jesus. I'm going to tell them how life was so hopeless without Jesus, but I'm going to tell them what Jesus Christ has done for me. And I'm going to tell them that if you ever get a chance to meet Jesus, he can do the same thing for you. Just a little while later, one man, he makes a difference. I believe this one man, he was persistent with the gospel. This one man, he can't be moved. He couldn't be shaken. He couldn't be stopped because he knew what Jesus Christ did for him. And when Jesus comes back to this coast of Decapolis, now instead of people saying, leave, leave, we want nothing to do with you, they're saying, I have one that can't hear. Can you please heal him? I've got one that can't speak. Can you please heal him? I need to know what you have to say. I'm willing to spend 3 days, even if I'm hungry, even if I have nothing, no supplies. I'm willing to sit at the feet of Jesus. I'm willing to see Jesus do a great miracle. And 4,000 people heard Jesus Christ and heard his message and saw the miracles. And 4,000 people were saved because of one man that was willing to be a voice. Because of one man that was willing to be obedient. Because of one man that was willing to say, you know what, I can make a difference with my life. My life was in bondage to Satan, and now I'm free. And the least I could do is share with the gospel with others what Jesus Christ can do for them. Could you imagine what one man could be as a testimony in his own community? Imagine what one person, one man, one woman, one teenager, imagine what God can do with that one person if they'd simply say, I want to be a voice, I want to be obedient, I want to make a difference in my generation for Jesus Christ. You see, sometimes we look at numbers and we say we can only accomplish great things with numbers. I want you to say this, that God can accomplish great things with just a few. God doesn't need the multitudes to do his will. He's just looking for someone that says, I want to be a voice. He's just looking for someone that says, I want to be faithful. He's just looking for someone that says, I want to be obedient. He's looking for someone that says, I want to just take what Jesus Christ has done for me and share it with all those around. Wonder, is there still a Spurgeon left in our generation? Someone that could turn his city where thousands, 10,000 people would come and hear the gospel message preached? Oh, London would do well if there was a Spurgeon there today. How about the Wesleys? How about a Billy Sunday? How about a D.L. Moody? How about someone that would say, I'm willing to give my life, I'm willing to be spent, I'm willing to do whatever it takes so that the gospel of Jesus Christ can be preached and given. God, give us one man tonight. God, give us one woman tonight. God, give us one family tonight, one teenager tonight that says, I'm not going to be stopped. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to be moved. As long as I have a voice, it's going to be a voice that is going to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world that needs him. I saw the news this afternoon. There were Christians that gathered in Pakistan at a park this afternoon. And I believe the count I saw was 63 of them were killed in a bomb attack. They died for their faith. I read that this afternoon. I said, God, 880 of us came together today with no fear, with no thought of an attack. God, give us one man. God, give us one woman in this generation that says, I'm going to give of myself no matter what it means. God, give us a teenage boy, a teenage girl that says, I'm going to live my life in a way where I'm going to make a difference in my generation. God, give us one man that says this, I know what God has saved me from. And if he can save me, he can save you. Church, let's not get caught up in all the things of this world. Let's get caught up in what Jesus Christ can do for this world. One person, one family, one church to reach this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Could you imagine because of your testimony or the testimony of your family or the testimony of this church that others say, I need to know who your Jesus is. I heard you're possessed with devils. I've got a family member that can't hear. Do you think Jesus could help them? I heard you were possessed with devils and Jesus cast out those devils. I saw what he did for you. I've got someone in my family that can't speak. Do you think he can help them? I saw what Jesus Christ can do for you. I've got somebody in my family that's an alcoholic. Do you think that Jesus can do the same thing for them? I saw what Jesus can do for you. I've got somebody in my family that's just hooked on drugs and addicted to drugs. It's destroying their life. If he did it for you, do you think he can do it for them? I've got somebody in my family. It's addicted to sin. Do you think your Jesus can do it for me? How many are you bringing to Jesus? Because you're willing to be a voice. Because you're willing to be obedient. Because you're willing to make a difference in your generation. I don't want to just live my life. I want to make a difference with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you can see what God can do with one man, one woman, one person. Will you let God do it with you?